There was once a young lady who graduated from high school and went off to college. She made her first trip back home to see mom and dad, and she had all kinds of new information and ideas. As she looked at how that household was continuing to be run, she became critical over how her parents lived. One sign of her displeasure came from the picture over the family fireplace. In this picture, and this story is said to be true, the father was sitting and the mother was standing. The young lady, having received some training in etiquette at college, said that picture expresses a lack of courtesy. It is impolite, improper, and rude. Dad should have been standing and mom should have been sitting. The father turned to the young lady and said, "Honey, you still have some things to learn. The picture was taken while we lived in the country. I had just finished a 10-mile hike, and Mama had just finished a day of horseback riding." A picture can say a lot. The book of Jonah has a lot of pictures. Not literally, you can't turn over and see the great fish and things like that, but you can, as you read through the book, find a lot of pictures that are expressed with words. The first chapter, for example, presents us with a man who rebelled against God. There is also the mental image of this man running or trying to run from God. Jonah wanted to get out of town, away from God, and far away from the people of Nineveh. Those plans failed, so the Bible presents us with a picture of him being swallowed by a great fish. If this book were made into a movie, there would also be the image of this prophet finally running to God. He wants to embrace God and find safety in rebellion. When we think about Jonah's rebellion, his running from, his confinement, and his finally going to God, we're shown something. And that is the theme of this lesson. Obedience to God's commands can be difficult, but disobedience is a lot harder. In our world, there's a common attitude towards Christianity, and that is, being a Christian is difficult. It's hard. Being a Christian takes work. And because it does require effort, there are a lot of folks who say or reason, well, we'll just exchange it for something that's a whole lot easier. Because Christianity is not a faith without effort, there are some people who have come up with some alternative ideas. There are some folks who have tried to make Christianity into something that might be likened to the YMCA. If we offer swimming classes and exercise classes, nutritional programs, Christianity is going to be a whole lot easier, and it's going to attract some more folks. There have been other examples to lessen the demands of Christianity, so people emphasize the secular. They're religious groups that put on music and drama performances that rival or better than what some nightclubs offer. All kinds of gimmicks are used to turn Christianity into some kind of secular thrill. The gospel becomes, for some, something that's recast into fun, and more fun. Most folks like fun, and there's nothing wrong with fun. But when you look at the Bible, you do not find that it emphasizes what we normally think of fun, that is, fun in the secular sense. In fact, I did a concordance search of several Bible translations, and I found the word fun only one time. I found three versions which use it in Acts 2, verse 13, and I'm not going to read that reference. There were some people who were mocking the apostles. They made fun of the apostles. Christianity offers a lot of good things, a lot of things which we need, a lot of things which are desirable, a lot of things which are enjoyable. But the Bible does not embrace nor teach the secular concept of fun. God never intended Christianity to be some kind of a game or constant party, but it is a life that's mixed with good things and difficulties. And that's really what we see demonstrated in the life of Jonah. This prophet found that being obedient to God was going to be difficult. There were going to be some hardships if he did the will of God. And for that reason, this was not something that he wanted to do. He preferred doing things his own way. But he found out that disobedience came with a price that was a lot higher than being obedient in the first. He preferred things his own way, and this same difficulty still exists. In fact, it's been around for a long time. The attraction of disobedience has always been stronger than obedience. And I'm going to be reading in a little bit from Deuteronomy chapter 28. After Israel had been released from Egyptian bondage, it received a law, and it was a law that was difficult to keep. There were 600 and some odd commandments for the Hebrews to follow, and those were a lot of rules. In our day and time, I think, if people said, we've got a list of 600 rules for you to comply with as you live your daily lives, people would feel a little bit overwhelmed. And in Deuteronomy 28, we read about a section of the law which contains the blessings and cursings. God says on the one hand, look, I've got 600 and some odd laws that you can follow and you're going to be blessed. And that was complicated. I mean, in fact, in the New Testament, the Bible talks about this as a burden. It was a yoke upon the people's life. But God says, or said to those people, if you do this, it's going to take some work, it's going to take some effort, but it's going to lead to the good life. Ultimately, you're going to be blessed, even though it's going to complicate your lives a little bit. On the other hand, God said there's a second choice. You can be disobedient, which in the short term is probably going to be easier. If you're interested in fun, that's going to be something that you can have. But God says there are going to be some consequences if you choose option number two. The evil consequences for being disobedient start at verse 15, and they go all the way through verse 68. In other words, God used 53 verses to tell these people about the consequences of disobedience. That's a lot. I'm not going to read all that. I'm going to start at verse 15 and verse 29 to show what was going to happen to these people if they chose to be disobedient. God said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God to observe and do all of his commandments and his statutes. And again, that was going to be work. But God said, if you don't want to go that way, what I've commanded you this day, then these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And they began in verse 16. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. The increase of the cattle and the young of thy flock. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Verse 20, Jehovah will send upon thee the cursing, discomfiture, and rebuke in all that thou puttest thy hand unto to do, until thou be destroyed. And until thou perish quickly, because thou doest evil in thy doings, whereby, God said, you've forsaken me, you've chosen disobedience. Jehovah will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest in to possess it. God also said, I'm going to smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, with the sword, and with blasting. God said, mildew will come upon you, so that people will pursue you and you'll perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. It's not going to be good for you. And earth that is under thee shall be iron. Jehovah will make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Jehovah will cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and shall flee seven ways before them. Thou shalt be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy dead body shall be food unto all the birds of the heavens and unto the beasts of the earth. And there should be none to frighten them away. Jehovah will smite thee with the boil of Egypt, with the hemorrhoids, and with the scurvy, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. He will smite thee, verse 28, with madness, and with blindness, and with astonishment of heart. And then in verse 29, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and robbed always, and none, God said, will come to save you. That's serious stuff. And as I said, he continues on down through verse 68 with several other terrible consequences. Jonah got to see in his life that very principle demonstrated. For a time, he thought that disobedience was going to be easier. I can get in the ship, I can leave, and everything's going to be okay. That is the easiest of the two choices. But when you look at the Bible, he found out that he was wrong. It is ultimately easier and better to pay the price of obedience, no matter what that price is, rather than to disobey God. This is the right choice. And you would think that most people, having been exposed to this information, would say, yes, we understand that, and we're willing to pay that price. We're willing to obey. That's what we want to do. But the fact of the matter is that most do not make that choice. Most choose to go the hard road. I know that because of what Jesus said. In Matthew 7, verse 14, Jesus spoke about the number of people who would be saved. In that verse, Jesus said at the end of time, few. A small number will inherit eternal life. Well, why will such a small number of people go to heaven? Is heaven boring? Is it undesirable? Doesn't God have enough room for people? Is his dwelling place so undesirable that most do not want to go there? No. The answer is found in the life of Jonah. God requires obedience for people to enter into eternal life. But since obedience is costly, since it's not always the easiest thing to do, most are unwilling to pay the price. And if we're not willing to pay the price, eternal life is not going to be our eternal reward. At the present time, there are some folks who say that, well, we don't need to pay any price. We just kind of drift through life, and then God, you know, welcomes us into heaven. That's not what Jesus said. You may remember that in Matthew 9, verse 37, Jesus told a little story where he refers to laborers. And he said these laborers were involved in a harvest. Some of us have worked in a garden or worked in fields. During my parents' visit, they reminded me of the times where we spent several hours in a fairly large garden. During that period, we harvested a lot of different crops: pumpkins, watermelons, corn, raspberries. We dug potatoes. We plucked strawberries. I think they had everything. We harvested crops and we sold crops, and it was work. It was labor. Jesus said, though, when it comes to his kingdom, there are few laborers in the kingdom. Why are there few workers? Well, many are uninterested in that because the church is supposed to be a place of work. It's supposed to be a place of labor, but a lot of people don't want that. The church is often recast into a place of fun, and more fun, a place of recreation. But that's not what Jesus said spiritual life is about. It is a place to labor. And that's not the only time that Jesus made that point. You may remember in Matthew 16, verse 24, that Jesus said, "Take up my cross and follow me." Well, this meant something to the people who heard it. We may hear that and not associate a lot of meaning with it. But for these people, this was another word picture. For us, a cross is typically seen as a piece of jewelry. You can buy, a nice cross made out of gold, diamonds, an attractive piece of jewelry. But people in the first century had a much different view of the cross. As I thought about trying to illustrate this, the only thing that I can come up with that I think really makes the point in my mind is the electric chair. From time to time, people who commit capital offenses are electrocuted. They're put into the chair, and electric is sent into their body, and they die. Suppose, if you will, that a manufacturer had earrings with a little electric chair on them. Maybe a person sitting on the chair as well, something like that. I doubt that would be a popular selling item. Most people would say that an individual who would wear such a thing would be a little bit bizarre. That would be twisted. That would be, someone might even use the word sick. That would be bad taste. We immediately associate the electric chair with death and criminal activity. And it would be strange for somebody to have that hanging off their ear. Well, that's really what people thought of when they saw a cross or heard about the cross in the first century. This was an instrument of death. It was a way of terminating the worst of criminals. A cross pointed to suffering and pain and the severest of consequences, and yet, that's the very image that Jesus uses in Matthew 16, 24. He said, "You take up my cross and follow me." You take up that instrument of death. Well, what does that tell us about obedience? It tells us that it is not easy. People said, "Take up your electric chair and follow me." We think, "Oh boy, I got to think twice about that. That's going to cost a lot. That's going to mean that my life is no longer my own." The faith of the gospel is difficult. But the Bible also tells us that the price of not being obedient is a whole lot higher. What if Jesus had said in Matthew 16, "Take up my cross one time for a 24-hour period and follow me before you die"? How many people would not do that? I suspect that there would be quite a few. What if Jesus had said, "Take up my cross for a 24-hour period 10 times before you die, or 100 times before you leave this life"? Surely a lot of people would say, "Hey, that's more than we want to do. Forget it." Taking up his cross for a week would be more than most would want to do. For a solid week, you're asking too much. But Jesus said, "Take up my cross each day that you live." And I know that because in a parallel account, Luke 9, verse 23, he said, "You take up my cross daily." If you're a child of God, each single day you live for me. And this responsibility is so great that most in the world will not do that. And they'll not do it because disobedience is so much easier. And that's why Jesus was able to say back there in Matthew 7, verse 14, "Few will be saved." He was exactly right. He knew what he was talking about when he made that prediction. Serving God is not easy for a lot of reasons. Tonight we're going to look at one of those reasons, and that is religious persecution. Taking up the cross of Christ means that we're going to make some people angry. Jesus put it in plain terms in John 15, verse 18. He said, "If you're one of my followers," he said, "there are going to be people who hate you. Folks who absolutely despise you." The cross at times can be heavy. Acts 14:22 confirms that by saying that we enter into the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Christianity does have some very difficult times. There are plenty of examples in the Bible and in history, in the history of the church, to show that serving God at times can be very difficult. But the key principle for us is that no matter how costly disobedience is, or how costly obedience rather is, disobedience is always more costly. Each person who is responsible for their actions, old enough to know right from wrong, old enough to be pleasing or not pleasing to God, is making a choice. And that is, we can either choose to pay the price right now for obedience, no matter how high that is, or we can pay the eternal price after we leave this life for being disobedient. Jonah, for a while, decided to pay that easier price, but he found out that eventually that caught up with him. The cost was too high, and there is, therefore, that mental picture of him running to God, realizing that he had made the wrong choice. God sets two choices before each one of us. And if we're old enough to make a choice, the question that we need to consider is, which one have we picked? Do we want to be one of the few who's going to go to heaven? Matthew 7, verse 14. Do we have the willingness to pick up cross or Christ's cross daily? That's the obligation. A lot of people say no. And if we are someone who selects the I'll pay later plan, be disobedient now because it's easier. The Bible affirms in the clearest possible way in both Testaments that the price is a whole lot more than we'll want to pay. It's very undesirable because that price is eternity without God. Surely no one wants to pay that price. Better to go ahead and take the difficulties of life now, whatever they are. Be faithful to God. Take up our cross and know that we're on the right road, rather than for a short period of time, as the Hebrew writer says, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season and to pay that eternal price forever when we leave this world. We begin taking up Christ's cross by being joined to Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How are we joined to Christ? The Bible says we're baptized into. We believe in Christ. We want to turn our life. We want to repent and live according to his word and will. And then once we're willing to acknowledge him as Lord, we take that final step, being joined to Jesus, take up that cross each day, pay that price so that we can be one of the few who has eternal life. If you've chosen the pay later plan, we beg you, don't be like Jonah. Don't make that choice, because it leads to a road that you don't want. Obedience now, not disobedience, is the right choice. That's God's will. And if that's not the choice that you've made, and we can help you this morning, perhaps as a Christian, you made that choice for a while, but you've left the right road. You've gone down the path of disobedience because that's easier. We'd like you to come back. And if we can pray with you, study with you, encourage you somehow, we'd like to do that. If you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, but you've been held back knowing that the price is hard, then today we hope that you'll give consideration to the fact that, yes, it is difficult, but the price of obedience is a lot easier than being disobedient. If we can help you as a Christian or not, will you not let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?